We have a mitzvah that the Torah records, and that is the instructions of how one is supposed to bring a karban toda. And a karban toda is offered when a person feels overwhelming sense of gratitude for something that took place in their lives. There's a major discussion in the Achronim about whether or not in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, when a karban toda was offered, was that something that was obligatory? Was that something that was mandatory? If I went through a certain experience, I must bring a karban toda, or is that something that was always on a voluntary basis? It was never enforced at all. This is a major discussion. It would seem from the Chayyadam, from the Mishnah Berurah, that they understood that at the times of the Beis Hamikdash, if a person went through one of those encounters, they had to. It was absolutely mandatory to bring the Karban Todah. But yet, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach posits that he thinks that's a mistake, and he says even in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, a Karban Todah, he felt, was just a mitzvah. It was an opportunity that you had, but it was not a chiyuv. It was lo chiyuvis, he says. It was not something that was an absolute obligation. Either way, whether you assume that a Karban Todah was something that was an offering that was obligatory or not, the Rashi and the Rush and other Achronim write as well that in the place of the Karban Todah nowadays, since nowadays unfortunately we do not have Avod in the Beis Hamikdash, nowadays we don't have the ability to bring Karbanos, so we have nowadays the Bracha of Birchas HaGomel, which stands in the place of what used to be a Karban Todah. The Stechemet goes so far as to say that the Rush, who over here equates a Birchas HaGomel to the old expression of Todah by bringing the Karban, he says, therefore, you do not say a Birchas HaGomel on Shabbos or Yom Tov, because on Shabbos or Yom Tov, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, one was not able to offer a Karban Todah. Therefore, he says, that would follow nowadays that we don't offer the Birchas HaGomel either. I don't think we assume that way, la'alacha, but you just see how far this goes. The Stechemet quotes Gedolei Acharonim, who assume that way, that a Birchas HaGomel is really patterned off of the old institution of what used to be a offering of a Karban Todah. There's a famous observation made by the Netziv, but the truth is it's an observation that was made well before him. The Abarbanel has it as well, and the Malbim, other Mefarshim, and that is that when you look at the nature of a Karban Todah, there are some aspects, some elements of it that are noticeably different from other Karbanos. The Netziv points out that over here by the Karban Todah, not only do you have to bring a Karban, but you also have to offer 40 loaves of bread along with the Karban as well that need to be eaten alongside the Karban and follow the same rules of how long the Karban is able to be consumed. And you also find difference number two is that when it comes to the Karban Todah, we have a miut zman achila, we have a shorter span of time that we're allowed to eat it than what would be the normal span of time that you're allowed to eat a regular Karban that you generally would offer. So the Netziv points out that he doesn't think this is a coincidence. He doesn't think this just happens to be incidental that you have a more amount to eat with a lesser amount of time to eat it. He says the reason why this is the case is because the expression of a Karban Todah is for a person to be able to show their gratitude. When a person expresses gratitude, it should not be done in private. It's something that should be done while incorporating, while embracing many others. It should include as many people as possible, and your expression of gratitude that you possibly can. And therefore, says the Netziv, the Torah goes out of its way to say that when offering a Karban Todah, one has to bring many, many loaves of bread that is impossible for them to eat just alone with their family in one day and one night. That's not a possibility for anyone to do that. And therefore, the Torah instructs us that when eating the Karban Todah, we have to invite as many people as possible to join us, that we should share in our feelings of gratitude with many others. This is also indicated in the Briskei Rav on Chumash, when he writes that Moshe Rabbeinu has an encounter with his father-in-law, and the first thing that he does is Vayisaper Moshe Lechosnav. Moshe Rabbeinu tells him over, he recounts the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim and of all the miracles that they experienced on the time of Geulas Mitzrayim. So why did he do that? Why would Yisro have cared about what the Jewish people went through and all the miracles? The answer is, Moshe Rabbeinu was looking forward to the opportunity that he would have to share the miracles. This is a mitzvah that we have, to share the miracles, to share our feelings of gratitude, of gratefulness. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was not able to do so with anyone else because everybody was part of the Yitzias Mitzrayim experience. Finally, Moshe Rabbeinu comes across a person who he's able to share the story with. Moshe Rabbeinu, what else is he going to do? The first thing he does is Vayisaper Moshe Lechosnav. He tells his father-in-law Yisro about everything that took place, all that he encountered and experienced, because that's the mitzvah. When we have something great, something amazing, something wondrous, something miraculous that happens to us, we should be willing to share that with as many people as possible. Like the insight of the Netziv, it is that we have so much that is expected to be brought along with the Karban Todah, and yet it's expected to be eaten in such a short span of time. So, in order to understand this substitute for Karban Todah that we have nowadays, this Birchas HaGomel, let's begin with the Gemara. The Gemara says in Brachas on Daf Nun Dalid that Arba Tzrichim Lahodos, there are four people who go through a particular encounter, a particular experience, And those four people need to be modeh l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They have to offer their feelings of gratitude, of gratefulness. Number one, says the Gemara, yardeh hayam be'anios. Somebody who goes traveling on a boat, travels on a boat to a faraway distance, we assume that person has to go ahead and offer a bracha when they come back. Now the discussion in contemporary sources is a plane considered like a boat? Maybe we'll talk about that another day. But that's an offshoot of what the Gemara says. Somebody who travels on the river has to go ahead and make the bracha. Says the Gemara number two, is someone who's holchei midbaros, when a person goes through an experience of traveling in the desert, which always was known to be a very dangerous, a very trying experience, so then you had to make a bracha once you got there safely. Number three, misha hayacholav in isrape, someone who had a very serious illness and now becomes better. It's a question, how exactly do you define what a serious illness is? There are those who say maybe only if a person had a surgery and was put under a general anesthesia. Others argue, what do you mean? There are many very serious procedures that are done just with local anesthesia. So that's a major debate, major contemporary discussion. If you have a situation like that, it has to be discussed with a person who really knows the answer to those questions. And finally, the Gemara says, someone who is chavush v'yatsami beis ha'asurim, someone who went to jail, and the jail systems used to be a very dangerous place to be. Wasn't always clear whether you would come out alive from that experience. So the Gemara says in that case, also, a birchas hagomel is warranted in the place of what would have been a carbon tamid in the Beis HaMikdash. This is all quoted the halacha in the Tur and Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Yud Tes and Harachayim, and this is something that we practice today nowadays. It's interesting to note that the Maharsha comments on that Gemara, that on the night of Pesach, we drink four cups of wine. Says the Maharsha, why do we drink four cups of wine? We all know, it's keneged those four expressions that we have in the Chumash, but says the Maharsha on a more fundamental level, what is it all about forgetting the Ramazim? He says on a very simple, basic level, it's because we need to thank the Ribono Shel Olam over a cup of wine for the four experiences that we had that the Gemara discusses here. Number one, he says, we were Yardei Hayam in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We went through the river, not on a boat. We went through the river and we didn't know maybe it was going to collapse while we were walking through. So we had to bench a Birchas HaGomel on that alone. Number two, he says, we were Holchei Midbarios. We were traveling through the desert. We didn't know where our food was going to come from. We didn't know what was going to happen. We had to make a birchas hagomel on that experience. Number three, cholish and esrape. Everybody was so terribly oppressed in Mitzrayim, and now everybody came out healthy and strong. That was the third reason to express a feeling of gratitude. And finally, we were chosh bebeis ha'asurim. For so many generations, for so many years, we were under the oppressive rulership of Mitzrayim. Now we came out. Now we have the opportunity to be free people. So because of that, says the Vilna Gaon, as well as the Maharsha, that we have to feel the expression of a Birchas HaGomel on the night of the Seder. Not a Birchas HaGomel once, but a Birchas HaGomel four times, because we went through all four of these phases on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore he says this is the reason why we have Dalet Kosas, not only V'hotzeisi, V'hitzalti, V'ga'alti, V'lakachti, but also on a very basic level, because this is our way of expressing our feelings of overwhelming gratitude for taking us out of Mitzrayim. Now the Meiri and other Rishonim make a point, and that's a very important point, and that is the following. What if a person goes on the boat, and there was no danger? The boat was a very safe travel, and nothing went wrong. There was no storm along the way. There was nothing that threatened their life. But you went through the experience of having a boat, or for that matter, you go traveling through the desert, and you had plenty of food, and there was nothing dangerous that you encountered along the way. Should we assume that a Birchas HaGomel should be made on those experiences as well? Or do you say, no, Birchas HaGomel is only when a person faces adversity, when a person faces some sort of threat, some sort of peril, some sort of danger? But otherwise, even if you travel through the desert, even if you go on a boat, but nothing happens, there's no reason why you should recite the Birchas HaGomel. The Meiri writes, there were some Rishonim who suggested that. And in fact, the Rabbeinu Manoach writes this in the name of the Ravid, so it's a very credible source that felt this way. But the Meiri himself rejects that opinion. And he says, no, the Gemara here is identifying what would normally be considered to be a dangerous encounter in our lives. So you're right. You happen to have had the great mazel that you went on a boat and there was no storm and nothing went wrong and everything was fine, and you went in the desert and you had more than enough food and there was no reason to worry, there was no danger that came your way. But the bottom line is, says the Meiri, these are generally assumed to be very dangerous kind of experiences. It might be that once in a while they go freely, they go easily without having any danger involved in them at all, but the Meiri argues that he thinks a bracha should be recited regardless of whether or not your particular situation encountered any danger or not. Now again, that trickles down nowadays. Rav Soloveitchik, when he spoke about airplanes and making a bracha, Birchas HaGomel on that, he said, well, is that something that we consider to be dangerous? Is that something that we're nervous about before we go on a plane? Are we really afraid? I think most people don't really think about it. So that's a discussion maybe we'll have to have, but in a basic level, a cholish and a srape or any of these people Sorry, if you have someone who goes through a midbar or something like that, even if it's not dangerous, the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha writes that as well, that we have to make a bracha on that, because we assume that to be something that, in a normal situation, would be somewhat dangerous, and therefore you have to make a bracha on that experience. There's an interesting discussion that the Achronim have. What if a person put themselves into the danger? So sometimes you have to travel because you have no choice. But what if you decided, the example that they give, is a person decides he's going to jump off a bridge, he wants to commit suicide. And then halfway down he says, what am I doing? And it just so happens to be, miraculously, he gets saved. So again, that's a strange, unusual case. And probably the person who's jumping off the bridge and later on gets saved has to go for a long time of psychiatric help and is not going to be ready to make a Birchas Hagomah right away anyway. So I assume that's not so relevant. But give another example. You have somebody who, the Achronim discuss, what if you have somebody, the Minchas Elazar, the Munkacher Rebbe, right? What if you have somebody who goes on a business trip? It's an elective business trip, not because you had to go and your business is sending you, but you went on a very, very dangerous venture because you wanted to make money. Not because you had to make the money, but because you decided, I already have $1 million, why not make $2 million? I already have enough to retire on, but I may as well become a multimillionaire. So say the Achronim, is that really warranting a bracha birchas hagomel? Why'd you put yourself in the situation? Yeah, God saved you, but why'd you do that to yourself? So that's a discussion that they have. The Shari Tshuva talks about it as well. Shari Tshuva writes, well, maybe you should say that a bracha should be recited without Shema Malchus. He's not really sure. It's a big suffix. Anyway, I think this is an interesting question. When you have an elective kind of danger that a person chose to put themselves in, would a Birchas Hagomel be recited on that as well? There is a discussion about the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. As we know, the Gemara in Yuma tells us, the Yerushalmi talks about it, that there were many generations where they had a Kohen Gadol used to go in on Yom Kippur, and he didn't come out. He went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he lost his life. So there's a discussion that the Achronim have, should the Kohen Gadol recite a Birchas Hagomel when coming out to Shalom from the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Should we assume that warrants a bracha? So other Achronim argue, why would that warrant a bracha? You put yourself into it. Nobody told you to be the Kohen Gadol. Nobody said you had to go in. You chose to take the position. You chose to accept the leadership. So that comes along with a very dangerous mission. And that mission is, if you're not worthy, you're not going to come out of the Beis HaMikdash alive. So that's a discussion that they have over there as well. But I think it's relevant to a regular Birchas Hagomel. Forgetting the Kohen Gadol, should we assume that a person who elects to put himself in a face of danger should also recite the Birchas Hagomel or not? There is a discussion that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and others have as to why they singled out these four experiences to recite a Birchas Hagomel. And the Ben Ish Chai is quoted in many other later Svarim writes that the reason why is very simple, because these four experiences are ones that we can blame on nature, we can blame on convention, and we can ignore the hand of God in the salvation from these kinds of experiences. Number one, he says, a person who is sick. So you're going to sign up to get the best doctors, and they're going to give you this treatment and that surgery and everything, and you say, oh, it's because I did all of that that I became better. No, we go ahead and we recite a Birchas Hagomel to recognize and to highlight the fact that it was God who made the chola get better. It was not all the doctors. Obviously, har b'shluchim l'makom, but it was ultimately the Ribbono Shel Olam who decided that this person should have a refuah. Secondly, when you have somebody who's chavash bebeis ha'asurim, somebody who is in a jail in a very dangerous situation, generally the way they get out is because you have some people who know how to negotiate, and some people are good politicians, and they know how to pay off those who need to be paid off, and they know how to bribe those who need to be bribed, and then the person gets out. So when they come out, they're going to say, thank you to the person that got involved for me, thank you to the people that negotiated on my behalf, and now we worked out the deal. It had nothing to do with a miracle. The answer is no. On those occasions, we highlight the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who decided it's time for me to come out of jail. And third, they write, Holchei Midbarius. A person generally doesn't go out to the Midbar, doesn't go out on a mission into the desert without having those guides who know how to walk you through it, with those people who know how to get you through it in the proper way. And you'll say to yourself, well, I got through the mission because I brought the right people along with me. And there too, we say, it's the Ribbono Shel Olam who got you through. And finally, Yardei Hayam, you're not going to go on a cruise unless you know that this cruise line has been proven to be one that successfully travels all over the world. Otherwise, I would never sign myself up to such a thing. So when you get there successfully, you'll say, oh, it's because we had a wonderful crew, and because the cruise ship is so well known, and everybody knows how safe they are, how careful they are. And the answer is no. In all these experiences, we remind ourselves of the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who had a hand in everything that took place, and everything, all the outcome that came about from the experience and from the venture we had gone on. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach points out, I don't know if he said it, but I heard a Talmud Chacham said in his name, that perhaps this is why in the Shemona Esrei, when we ask for a refuah, when we daven Refaenu Hashem v'nerafei, we add in the words, Ki sihi laseinu ata. What does that have to do with anything? We ask you to give us a refuah, Ki sihi laseinu ata, because you are the one who we praise all the time. Why don't we ask him for everything else? Why don't you give us Yerushalayim, because we're the ones who praise you all the time? What's the connection? Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, because it's so easy to disregard God's involvement in a refuah. So we say, no. You grant us the refuah. And when you grant us the refuah, rest assured, you know that we will point out the fact that you were the one who gave it to us. When we have the refuah, we're going to remember that it was you. We're not going to neglect the fact that it was God who was involved. And maybe that's the reason why in that bracha, particularly in Shemona Esrei, we highlight the fact, Refa'enu Hashem v'nei Rafei, and when you give us the refuah, we're going to remind ourselves that it was you and it was nobody else who was involved in the refuah process. There is a discussion, again, a lot more to talk about. I see we're almost out of time. There is a discussion about whether or not this bracha is allowed to be recited balayla. Is this bracha allowed to be recited at night? Or should you say it should be just like the Karban Todah, and the Karban Todah can only be offered in the Beis HaMikdash during the day. Therefore, this bracha can only be recited during the day as well. That's a discussion that the Chasam Sofer has, and he thought it was a mistake. Those who argue that you can only make it by Yom because it's like the Karban Todah, he said you can't take it that literally. Again, the Stechemet said maybe you shouldn't be able to say the bracha on Shabbos or Yom Tiv because you can't bring a Karban Todah on Shabbos or Yom Tiv. So the Chasam Sofer has the same argument here. He says, don't take it so literally. Don't assume that it's exactly patterned off the Karban Todah, and therefore you can't say it Shabbos or Yom Tov, and you can't say it Balayla. It's not exactly the same. It's something that has a lot of similarity, but it's not something that should be exactly equated to the Karban Todah proper. And therefore he says, it is able to be said Balayla strictly for that reason. Then he goes into another discussion. Maybe you shouldn't say it Balayla because it's like the din of Hallel. And just like Hallel you don't say at night, it has to be only Mizrach Shemesh Ad Mavo, you can only say Hallel during the day, so too you should only say the Berachas HaGomel during the day. He says, okay, maybe there's room to argue that. But to argue the fact that you shouldn't say it by Laila because it's similar to a Karban Todah, he thought that was taking it a little too far, that was taking this rush that equates it to Karban Todah a little too literally, and that's something that he's not willing to accept. Anyway, tomorrow we will continue a little bit more with this. But there's a lot to speak about the guidelines and the parameters of Birchas HaGomel, and the question that I wanted to get to was something that somebody asked last week here in Shul, which was if their child was a Cholesh and a Srapi, their child went through a dangerous experience, they were in the hospital with respiratory issues last week, very serious ones, and the question was, obviously the child is too young to make a bracha, his two-year-old kid, he doesn't know how to make a bracha, how to have kavana for a bracha, but the father wanted to know, should I make the bracha on his behalf? A lot to discuss with regard to that as well.